In the second chapter of the book of Revelation, John is writing an individual message to each of the seven churches, which all of this document would be sent. The entire book of Revelation was to be sent to these seven churches. In chapter 2 and verse 1, Jesus said this, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, and your labor, and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which say they are apostles, and have found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly, and will remove my candlestick out of his place, except you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." I'd like to point you back to verse 1. Jesus told him that he was the one that holds the seven stars in his right hands. This lets us know that the messengers of the church God holds in his right hand. He also holds each individual in his hand. But the true ministers of his word, he holds in a special sense. He holds them with all the care and tenderness with which a loving father would hold the hand of his weak child. Not only does he hold these stars in his right hand, but he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. My friend, God walks among his churches. Have you ever wondered what God does all day long? Does he just sit up in heaven and observe all the things that's going on down here? Not at all, my friend. God himself walks in the midst of his children. If you think that he is laying back on the banks of the river of life, where there is no more curse, no more night, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, crying, or pain, or suffering, you'd be wrong. He has chosen to come down to walk with his people through this cursed world in which we live. He walks with us in the dark nights when things are not going well for us. He walks with us when the tears are flowing, as we stand beside the grave of a loved one. He walks with us through the sorrow, through the bereavement, through the crying, through the pain, and through the suffering. We find him in the book of Genesis, walking in the cool of the day. And then again, in the book of Daniel, we see him walking in the heat of the fiery furnace. We see him in the gospel, walking the dusty road to Emmaus, just to encourage two of his discouraged disciples. Yes, God walks with his children. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy joy comes in the morning. My friend, God walks with us. He doesn't leave us in the midst of our tears. He doesn't leave us in the darkness of the night. He doesn't leave us in our sorrowing. He sorrows with those that sorrow. He suffers with those that suffer. Our pain becomes His pain. He is aware of what we're going through. To the children of Israel, He said, I walk with you through the wilderness these 40 years, and you lack nothing. All through the life of Christ, we find Him walking the dusty roads of Palestine, walking the rough waves of the seas of Galilee. I remember the old song we used to sing when I was growing up. He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. But God is not on a power walk. It is not His intention to outwalk His children. He, like the good shepherd, would not overdrive His sheep. He considers the weak ones and the ones which are carrying the young. You remember when Jesus was walking? He was walking to a person's house to heal the sick. But He wasn't walking too fast, because I read that a daughter of Abraham, one that was sick of an issue of blood, who had spent all that she had trying to find relief, but to no avail. She had heard about Jesus. She decided that if I can get to Jesus, I'll be healed. And when she saw the crowd, she said, well, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I will be made whole. Even though Jesus was walking to heal someone else, another sickly lady, weak and broke, caught up with Him, reached out through the crowd and touched the hem of His garment and was made whole. So we find that God has been walking from the book of Genesis, where He walked in the garden in the cool of the day to be with Adam and Eve. And here again, we find Him in the last book of the Bible, walking in the midst of the churches. And then, the second verse, He said, I know. What Jesus was about to say was not hearsay, was not a rumor. This was not something that He heard at the office. He said, I walk among you. I know. This same writer, John, wrote in another place that Jesus needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man, because He knew all men. He said, I know your work. I know your labor, and I know your patience. I'm going to end this lesson right here, but before I step away from the microphone, I'd like for you to hear a song that has encouraged me. It helps me to remember some times in my life when God truly did a magnificent thing for me. This song is the story of the lad who gave his lunch to Jesus, and it was multiplied to meet the need of thousands. Let this song take you back to a place in your life where you knew that God was actively working on your behalf.
They sat down for supper in their quiet little house, looked at one another. What was God doing now? Times were hard, and debts must be paid. Where was God? So little food on their plates. Then the daddy broke his silence, and the kids just listened in. He said, when I face a challenge, and feel like giving in, I go back to my favorite memory, to be exact. It happened here in Galilee, when my mama woke me up and said that we were going out to hear a man named Jesus on a hill outside of town. We listened to his sermon, people needed fed. I handed him my lunch, you know the rest. So no matter how hard life may get, I remember the fish. Oh, you should have seen all the fish. You see, I'd often heard of miracles, but never witnessed one until I was watching The Impossible, saw those baskets filled with so much food. There were faces full of joy, how my faith grew. That day is just a boy. So children, learn this lesson. Listen to your dad. Miracles will happen when you give God all you have. Then when you're weak, draw strength from that day when he met your need and he multiplied your faith. Like when my mama woke me up and said that we were going out to hear a man named Jesus on a hill outside of town. We listened to his sermon, people needed fed. I handed him my lunch, you know the rest. So no matter how hard may get, just remember the fish. Oh, don't forget what he did. Just remember the fish.